Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The World in Depression, 1929 to 1939, is a classic work of economic history by Charles P. Kindleberger that examines the Great Depression as a global systemic crisis rather than a simple reaction to the 1929 stock market crash. First published in the early 1970s and later revised, the book analyzes how international monetary instability, weak leadership, and the breakdown of the world economic order helped turn recession into prolonged depression. Kindleberger writes in a clear narrative style and focuses on historical explanation instead of mathematical modeling. His central concern is why the world economy became so fragile after World War I, especially during the transition from British to American economic leadership. The book remains important because it connects the interwar depression to broader questions about hegemony, liquidity, contagion, and the responsibilities of a stabilizing power in the global economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the Depression was a failure of international leadership, not just a stock market crash. Kindleberger's core argument is that the Great Depression cannot be understood only as a domestic American crisis triggered by Wall Street. He places the decisive problem in the international system after World War I, when Britain was no longer able to act as the stabilizing center of the world economy and the United States had not yet accepted that role. This created a dangerous gap in leadership. Without a country willing and able to support trade, credit, and confidence, the world economy lacked a coordinator able to absorb shocks and prevent panic from spreading. The book, therefore, recasts the Depression as a crisis of structure and responsibility, not merely of speculation. That perspective is important because it shifts attention from a single event to the failure of an entire international order. Kindleberger's analysis is also influential because it explains why the Depression became so long and deep. No stabilizer stepped in quickly enough to restore balance when the system began to unravel. Secondly, hegemonic stability is the book's main explanation for global economic order. A major contribution of the book is its development of hegemonic stability thinking. Kindleberger argues that a relatively stable world economy requires one dominant power to supply public goods that others will not provide on their own. In the 19th century, Britain had played that role by helping maintain openness, liquidity, and confidence in international markets. In the interwar period, however, Britain was exhausted and the United States was reluctant to lead. The result was not a neutral vacuum, but active instability, because every country began to defend narrow national interests in response to uncertainty. Kindleberger's point is not simply that leadership is useful, it is that global capitalism becomes fragile when no state has the authority or willingness to stabilize it. This makes the book broader than a history of the 1930s. It becomes a theory of how international economic orders function, why they fail, and why power transitions can produce prolonged disorder when the old hegemon weakens before the new one is ready. Thirdly, panic and contagion as mechanisms that turned recession into depression. The book gives special attention to the mechanics of crisis transmission. Kindleberger stresses that financial distress rarely stays local. Once confidence begins to collapse, panic can spread quickly through banks, currencies, trade links, and investor expectations. He shows how the 1931 crisis became a turning point, because a problem that began in one part of Europe spread across the international financial system and deepened the downturn. Everywhere. This emphasis on contagion is one of the book's most enduring insights. It helps explain why seemingly limited disturbances can become global emergencies when markets are interconnected and institutions are weak. Kindleberger treats panic not as irrational noise, but as a predictable feature of unstable financial systems. Once credit contracts and institutions fail, fear itself becomes a force that changes economic outcomes. The argument remains relevant because it anticipates later debates about financial contagion, banking runs, and the speed at which distress can move through highly integrated markets. Fourthly, liquidity and the missing lender of last resort in the world economy. Another central theme is liquidity, especially the absence of an international lender of last resort. Kindleberger argues that national banking systems rely on central banks to supply emergency liquidity during panic, but the world economy had no comparable authority in the 1930s. When banks, governments, and firms needed short-term support, no global institution could act quickly and decisively enough to prevent collapse. This made the crisis worse because shortages of confidence became shortages of cash, and shortages of cash produced further failures. The book, therefore, links financial instability to institutional weakness without a mechanism for crisis lending. Shocks become self-reinforcing. Kindleberger's treatment of liquidity is not technical for its own sake. It serves his larger claim that orderly markets depend on backstops and coordinators, not just private discipline. This idea has proven durable because it offers a clear institutional lesson international markets may look self-regulating in normal times. but in crisis, they need a recognized source of emergency support, or they can unravel rapidly. Lastly, a historical narrative that speaks directly to modern financial crises. The World in Depression stands out because it combines sweeping historical interpretation with practical relevance for later crises. Kindleberger deliberately avoids heavy mathematical modeling and instead uses a narrative method to show how policy choices, institutional weaknesses, and international tensions interacted over time. That makes the book accessible to readers who want explanation rather than formal theory, but it also gives the analysis unusual staying power. The same concepts that organize the interwar story, such as hegemony, panic, contagion, and liquidity, have been repeatedly invoked in discussions of later turmoil, including the 2008 global financial crisis and debates about the Eurozone. The book is not a generic account of economic collapse. It is a framework for thinking about why systemic crises spread and why recovery depends on leadership and coordination. Its gaining relevance comes from that combination of historical depth and policy insight. Readers see not only what happened in the 1930s, but also why the lessons remain useful whenever the international monetary system comes under stress. In conclusion, this book should be read by students of economics, economic history, international relations, and anyone trying to understand how financial crises become global and prolonged. It is especially valuable for readers interested in the architecture of the world economy, the role of central banks, and the way power transitions shape stability. For policymakers and analysts, the book offers practical lessons about crisis management, liquidity support, and the danger of assuming that markets will self-correct quickly in moments of panic. What makes it stand out from many other books on the Great Depression is its international scope and its institutional emphasis. Rather than treating the Depression as only an American collapse or a story about stock prices and unemployment, Kindleberger explains it as a failure of global leadership and coordination. That broader frame makes the book unusually durable. It is both a historical account and a theory of systemic breakdown, which is why it remains a reference point whenever scholars and officials look for parallels between the 1930s and later financial crises. If you would like to support Charles P. Kindleberger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.